Our reading tonight is Judges chapter 2. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I brought you up out of Egypt, and I brought you to the land that I swore to give to your fathers. I said, I will not break my covenant with you forever. As for you, do not make a covenant with the people living in this land. You must tear down their altars. But you did not listen to my voice. What is this you have done? So I say, I will not drive them out before you, but they will be traps for you, and their gods will be a snare to you. When the angel of the Lord spoke these things to all the people of Israel, the people lifted up their voices and wept loudly. They named that place Bochim, because they sacrificed to the Lord there. When Joshua dismissed the people, each of the descendants of Israel went to his own inheritance to take possession of the land. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, those who had seen all the great deeds that the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. They buried him within the borders of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them, who did not know the Lord or the deeds that he had done for Israel. The people of Israel committed evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals, and they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them. They bowed down to them, and they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtartes. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of raiders who plundered them. He sold them into the hand of their enemies around them, and they were not able to stand up in the face of their enemies. Whenever the men of Israel went out, the hand of the Lord was against them to bring disaster on them, just as the Lord had said to them, and just as the Lord had sworn to them, so they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who saved them from the hand of those who plundered them, but they did not listen even to the judges. Instead, they prostituted themselves to other gods and bowed down to them. They quickly turned from the way in which their fathers, who had obeyed the commands of the Lord, had once walked. This generation did not act the same way their fathers had acted. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, the Lord was with that judge and saved them from their enemies during all the days of that judge, because the Lord had compassion when he heard their groaning under their tormentors and oppressors. But then after the death of the judge, Israel would turn back and become more corrupt than their fathers by going after other gods, by serving them, and by worshiping them. They refused to let go of their practices and their shameless ways. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. He said, because this nation has violated my covenant, which I commanded to their fathers, and because they did not obey my voice, I will no longer drive out from among them a single one of the nations that Joshua left unconquered when he died. I will do this in order to test Israel by means of them. Will Israel keep the way of the Lord and walk upon it as their fathers kept it, or not? So the Lord gave those nations a reprieve, and he did not drive them out quickly. He did not hand them over to Joshua. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my goals as pastor is to help you read the books of the Bible for yourself with more enjoyment and more understanding. We Lutherans do not read the Bible on our own like we should. Part of the reason for this is the spiritual problem that afflicts all who are born of Adam and Eve. We naturally are inclined to be bored by God's Word and are eager to do other things instead. It's similar to that other great spiritual problem of ours with the second commandment. It's mysterious why we have such a hard time calling on God's name in every trouble, praying, praising, and giving thanks. Even Luther complains about that. He said that praying was the hardest work for him to do properly. But besides these great spiritual evils that cling to our flesh, we also have some difficulties when we're unfamiliar with what some portion of the Bible is talking about. It's kind of like jumping into a middle of a movie. When you don't know what comes before or what comes after, it's difficult to orient yourself to what's going on. And if you do jump into a movie in the middle of it, it requires real effort. No doubt, this is why we don't often watch movies starting in the middle of them. We watch them from the beginning, and thereby can understand it better. So I can understand how it's frustrating for people to pick up the Bible, not knowing much about it and not getting a lot out of it. Going in cold requires a lot of effort. So your homework assignment, if you should choose to accept it, would be to read the book of Judges during this Advent season. Over the course of these 3 midweek services, we'll be looking at chapters 2-4. What we heard about tonight serves well as an introduction to the book as a whole, and in the next 2 weeks we will begin to look at more specific people and events. Let's begin our series tonight by talking about the time period that we're dealing with. Genesis tells us about the 3 great patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob is given the name Israel by God, and he has 12 sons, and those 12 sons then become the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. When Jacob was an old man, a severe drought afflicted that whole region so that there was a tremendous famine. They had nothing to eat in this land that they were living in of Canaan, which God had given to Abraham and his descendants. And so they were forced to move to Egypt, where Jacob's son Joseph was an official who could help them in these terrible times. Now, over the course of time, the descendants of Jacob somehow eventually became enslaved by the Egyptians. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly why that is or how that happened, besides saying that it did happen over the course of 400 years. So from the time that Jacob lived until they are out of Egypt is a period of 400 years where they become slaves, and they're not living in their homeland of Canaan. They're living in Egypt. Now God heard their prayers while they were enslaved in Egypt, and God sent them the mighty deliverer, Moses. This story is told in the 2nd book of the Bible, Exodus. As you know, God did many signs and wonders through Moses so that Pharaoh was forced to let this nation go, these Israelites. And they end up at Mount Sinai, where God gives them the 10 commandments as well as the rest of the law. Now, the way that the story was supposed to go after that was that the Israelites were supposed to immediately go from Mount Sinai up into the land of Canaan, this land that God had promised to Abraham and to his descendants. And then they would take it over, they would get rid of the inhabitants, and they would live there together with their descendants. But that did not happen, and here's why. When Moses sent 12 spies up into Canaan not long after they had left Egypt, these 12 spies reported back what they had seen. And 10 out of the 12 said that these people are so strong that there is no way that we will ever be able to take them over. Only 2 of those 12 spies, Caleb and Joshua, believed that they would be able to be victorious by the grace of God, and because God promised that they were able to do it. Now, because the people believed the 10 spies who were discouraging and who had frightened them, God therefore punished them for not believing in his promise with 40 years of homelessness in the desert wilderness between Canaan and Egypt. Now, after those 40 long years of punishment were over, God finally brought the people into their inheritance, into the land of Canaan. They did that under the leadership of Joshua, one of those two spies who were faithful. Moses died before they crossed the Jordan into the promised land. Then, beginning at Jericho, the Israelites took over one territory after another in Canaan until all 12 tribes had their own regions carved out in this geography of Canaan. Now, this brings us up to what we heard about in our reading tonight. While the Israelites were successful in driving out the inhabitants of Canaan, they didn't fully carry out God's will. And God's will was that the people should be gotten rid of entirely. God did not want the Israelites to move in together with the Canaanites. He wanted the Canaanites killed or driven out of the land. The reason why God was bringing such disaster upon these Canaanites was God was punishing them for their sins. They had done disgusting and abominable practices. However, the Israelites did not do what God wanted them to do. They allowed the Canaanites to live there. Maybe they enslaved them, maybe they used them for this or that, but they did not devote them to destruction. Here we have one of those things from the Bible that sounds harsh or even evil to our modern ears. And there is not much that I can do for you to make it better. One of our flesh's deepest desires is that God will just forget about our sins. This was Adam and Eve's deepest wish after they had sinned. This is every child's deepest wish when they're afraid of being found out after doing something wrong. This is the criminal's deepest wish. The last person that he wants to see on his doorstep is the police. So the notion that God should execute such harsh judgment against a people for their sins, where they're entirely wiped out, is an intolerable thought to us sinners. Those who have no fear of the Lord will even rise up against God and pass judgment on him. They will declare God guilty of wanting genocide, and therefore obviously evil. Now, there is no way to convince people who are like that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There are no arguments that can change their mind. They don't want to be accountable to God, and there is no way to make them accountable to God. We will just have to wait and see what happens when God finally acts and judges. When the end comes, then all things will be sorted out. But until that time, people can believe all sorts of things about God that aren't true. Since we are really dealing with a spiritual problem here, it seems likely to me that the softness that you find in these Israelites is the same softness that we have too. That was why I think at least part of the reason why they spared the Canaanites. Perhaps the Israelites' leniency towards the Canaanites was because they themselves were hopeful that they could define for themselves what was right and wrong. We all want to believe that we aren't that bad, and so live and let live. It takes work and courage and conviction to do what God told the Israelites to do, but they weren't willing to do it. They were just wanting to let it slide. Because they wouldn't do what God wanted them to do, they were going to suffer accordingly. That's how it is so often with God's justice. Through the very sin that we commit, we find that it boomerangs right back upon us. With the continuing existence of the Canaanites among the Israelites, they worked like a cancer to the Israelites' faith. They worshipped false gods, and the Israelites were tempted into it too. The Canaanite boys fell in love with the Israelite girls, and vice versa. And soon you had mixed households, where the father believes one thing and the mother believes another. How then should the children be raised? That's a perennial problem, as we all know. So in sum, God was faithful to his covenant that he had made with the Israelites, but they were unfaithful to him. They became like the Canaanites around them, who had stirred up God's wrath in the first place. Therefore, God punished his people. In our reading, he said, "Because this nation has violated my covenant, which I commanded to their fathers, and because they did not obey my voice, I will no longer drive out from among them a single one of the nations that Joshua left unconquered when he died." God punished his people by giving them the very thing that they wanted. They didn't want to have to drive out these nations, and God said, "Have it your way. You won't drive out any of these nations." And forever after this, the Israelites would constantly be dragged into idolatry by the unbelievers all around them. They were in constant danger of simply melting in to the general population of the Canaanites. This is a blight also among us. When we lose our saltiness, when we're no longer willing to declare that something our loved ones are doing is evil, then we lose our distinctiveness. We and our children get thrown into the melting pot. We lose our grasp on God's word. We quit calling on the name of the Lord, because we lose our faith in God. It takes real work, real effort, courage, and conviction to judge. The default position is that we simply do nothing and let the trouble pass from us. Live and let live. So the book of Judges is very applicable to us. The Israelites were struggling with a lazy multiculturalism where everybody could do as he or she pleased. And while that was going on, they grew colder and colder toward the God who had led them up out of Egypt as the generations passed. But God was merciful in that he did not just turn them over to their desires entirely. He did not harden their hearts to the point where they had no other choice than to do what came naturally and easily to them. The way that God had mercy on them, and this is rather surprising in a way, the way that he had mercy on them was he sent trouble. The trouble that he sent took different forms, but one of the troubles that is especially recorded in Judges is that the Israelites were harassed by in life and limb by the people around them. They were left in poverty when the neighboring Philistines, for example, would sweep through their territory and take all their money and all their property. Having been humbled, they called out to the Lord, and he would save them. The book of Judges is about the people whom God raised up in those situations to help his people. They were known as judges, hence the name of the book. The Bible is always the most applicable of books because our human condition never really changes. We are cut from the same cloth as all those who have come before us, including the Israelites. And so we, like these people that we read about in the book of Judges, have the same temptations, the same troubles. And so, therefore, we are also in need of the same actions, that we should take stock of ourselves and our situation, that we should repent of our laziness and letting things slide, and call on the name of our God for our salvation, to recognize ourselves as distinct people, as recipients of God's tremendous grace, and to cultivate this from one generation to another. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.